2013 brings the 100th anniversary of one of Michigan's most storied music venues, the University of Michigan's Hill Auditorium. The classic Albert Kahn-designed 3,500-seat concert hall is noted for its splendid acoustics and is the setting for countless performances by legendary artists around the globe. Now, starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow, the University of Michigan hosts its Hill Auditorium celebration, including architectural and historic tours of the venue, a presentation on Hill's unique acoustical qualities, and panel discussion, the past, present, and future of the great concert hall. Another of tomorrow's highlights is the 2 p.m. premiere of the new documentary film, A Space for Music, A Seat for Everyone, 100 Years of UMS Performances in Hill Auditorium. Along with the concert series from the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance and other presenters, the University Musical Society has been presenting Ann Arbor concerts for more than a century. WKAR's Peter Wharf visited Hill Auditorium earlier this week for a number of conversations with Hill Auditorium and UMS staff. Peter spoke with U of M music student Charlie Reichel, who is also with the UMS Education Department. Reichel recalled some of the great performers from Hill's history and his own association with the hall.
For me, Hill Auditorium is kind of home base. It's my home court for playing in the orchestra. The first time I played on Hill Auditorium stage was as a seventh grader at Clegg Middle School during one of the Ann Arbor Public Schools orchestra nights. I remember looking up and just being amazed and completely distracted throughout the entire rehearsal. I think my conductor even yelled at me to get back into the game because I was watching the curve of the parabola of the stage and the optical illusions of it, or from the stage looking up as a tiny seventh grader holding my giant string bass was too much for me. But since then, I've played in it in high school orchestras and the University of Michigan Youth Orchestra, and now as a current junior in the School of Music as a double bass performance major, I play with the University Philharmonic Orchestra, and that is truly a wonderful experience. The stage has wonderful precision. As you know, I sit in the back because I'm a double bass player, but I can hear the back of the first violins just as clearly as I can hear the people standing right next to me, and it also has, you know, a wonderful ring to those giant striking rum chords. It has this perfectly timed, not overly cluttered, but a well-rounded ring to the end of pieces, and that's one of the most satisfying pieces of playing here, is finishing the song and hearing just a very solid and consistent decrescendo of the last note, and then before the first clap happens, that last little moment where it's completely silent in the hall.
Charlie, can you touch on landmark performances?
Well, Hill Auditorium is certainly a space that you could name almost any artist, and they've played here. Rachmaninoff has come through. The Philadelphia Orchestra with Eugene Ormandy had over a 60-year span when they were playing here every year. Maybe not always with Eugene Ormandy talking about that, but right. They had a long tradition of playing in the May Festival, right. Which was a 101-year-old tradition. UMS put on a four-day classical music festival every May. Just recently, some people might remember Yo-Yo Ma performing with the Silk Road Ensemble several times in the past 10 years. The Berlin Philharmonic was here just a few years ago on one of two stops they made in the United States, New York City and Ann Arbor. Aaron Copland has played here. Leonard Bernstein has been here with the New York Philharmonic. One of the most interesting concerts that Charles Sink was responsible for was bringing Caruso, the famous tenor, to Ann Arbor. At the time, he was the world's most famous tenor, and the money that was required to bring a man like that to Ann Arbor was out of UMS's reach. But he didn't take no for an answer, and he decided to sell presale tickets in Ann Arbor and raised the money, and then went back to the booking agent for Caruso and said, look, we're ready to do it. Bring him here.
Even before the date was booked and even before Caruso agreed to coming to Michigan, the tickets were sold.
That's right. Yeah, they had fundraised the money ahead of time, even before he was booked. And Charles Sink went to New York. I said, let me talk to Caruso. His booking agent said, I don't think he's going to come to a little town in Michigan. You know, he's the world's most famous tenor. Charles Sink, you know, did the face-to-face time with him. He shook his hand and said, I'll raise the money to bring him here. Just let me know. And Caruso walked out of the room with him and said, yep, we're going to Ann Arbor if they can get the money, and they did.
Shades of Kickstarter 100 years before.
Exactly, yeah, really. I mean, it is about just asking people if that's something they would like. The names in the classical music world are just no way to put them all in one list. I've really just picked up on this in the past year. Looking around through the documents, doing all this research, I've found so many pictures with signatures from the artists that I study in the music school, and it's so inspirational to think, wow, I'm really playing on the same stage that Aaron Copland, Leonard Bernstein, Rachmaninoff, Yo-Yo Ma, these names are just like ingrained. Their feet have touched the same floor. We use the same bathrooms backstage. It's a very strange thing to think about, that these wonderful, famous musicians have actually come to my hometown.
Charlie Reichel at Hill Auditorium as we celebrate 100 years of great music in Ann Arbor at Hill Auditorium. Charlie, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
For Current State, this is Peter Worf.